Good morning.
Morning.
How is everyone today? It is a fantastic day to be gathered together in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Just a quick question before we get started and a comment. First, I asked this in the early service. How many people bring their Bible to church? Raise your hand. How many people use the Bible in the pews? And is there anybody in here that gets their Bible on their phone? All right, we got a few in the back. Before we get started, just know that I got off work at 3:30 last night. So if I yawn in the middle of my sermon, you cannot count that against me, okay? However, you are not allowed to yawn in the middle of my sermon. Is that fair? Everybody grab your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. It's a short reading. When you get there, say amen out loud.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody who has ears, let's start again. Everybody who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder who built a house on bedrock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house. It did not fall because it was firmly set on bedrock. But everybody who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice will be like a fool who built a house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house. It fell and was completely destroyed. May God add his blessings to the reading of his words. God. Two things. One, this preaching two sermons on the same day is messing me up because I love Pastor Nolan's sermons. They are so polished and so clean and so pretty, and mine are not. And there's no way I can preach the same sermon twice. So just a extra plug in there, on the Sundays that I'm preaching, you can get two sermons that aren't going to be the same by showing up at both services. So just throw that out there. But the way my mind works is I think of the scripture and I just think of these pictures or these movies in my head. And so today, when I read the scripture, I think of this man climbing up onto a rock in the middle of a storm and setting his feet firmly on the foundation of Christ. He is a believer in Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, and he is standing firmly on the ground, on the rock, and the storm cannot budge him. However, the scripture says he builds a house on that rock. So in my mind, I start thinking, what kind of house? Is it a tent? I mean, did he pitch a tent on the rock, or did he build a grass hut, or did he build a mansion on the rock? And if so, what did he use to build that house? So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about what kind of house we're building on that foundation of Jesus. Because I know we all believe. I know we all stand firmly on the foundation of Jesus. But what I want to know is, what house are you living in? Because I may like yours better than mine, and I may want to move in with you. So we got a tent, a grass hut, and a mansion, but we have to have stages of this house. We have to have structure to this house. So we have a floor, we have walls, and we have a ceiling. Pretty much all houses have that, correct? So, and that's the other thing. Nolan is not here, so we're going to have fun today, okay? If I ask a question, feel free to answer out loud. Scream it out. It's okay. So, in my mind, we start by building the floor on top of the foundation, right? And that floor is made up of prayer. And that floor can be a tent floor, which is that thin plastic, maybe canvas. You know, the kind you have to take a inflatable air mattress with you, because if you don't, you will find the one pebble anywhere out there and lay right down on top of it. But it could also be a grass hut floor, which is the bamboo cut in half and, you know, maybe raised up off the ground a little bit, and it has slats in it, and the air gets in, and maybe a few bugs get in. But it's better than laying on the floor, on the ground, right, and finding the pebble. Or it could be a slab. But what does that look like if the floor is prayer? So in my mind, I see the canvas floor as our prayer life being maybe over dinner or before bedtime. And that's about the extent of our prayer life. Maybe we're just not that versed in prayer. Maybe we're just not that comfortable with prayer, or it's not that important to us and we don't make time for it in our daily lives. To me, that would be building a canvas tent flooring. But one step up from that is the grass hut. And maybe that is, we actually are intentional about prayer. Maybe we wake up in the morning and have 10 minutes set aside to spend in prayer. Maybe it is, maybe it's stopping and sitting in the car before we return to work from lunch and having a few minutes of prayer. Maybe it's praying with a few of your friends and coworkers. Maybe it's praying with your spouse. So to me, that would be like a little step up, and you'd be building a grass hut flooring. But we want a slab flooring, right? Because given the option, who's not going to choose the mansion? So what kind of prayer life will that look like? Well, number one, I have been blessed hearing Nolan talk about our prayer groups here and the people that are dedicated to prayer. The fact that we have somebody in the chapel out front praying right now is testimony to Foley's foundation, Foley's floor. And I encourage everyone to attend a prayer meeting or to volunteer to pray in the chapel or to give more of your time to learning more about prayer. But what would that look like in your daily life, in your personal life? Not necessarily the church life, but in your personal life. Well, at my house, I walked into my closet one day to get my uniform on, and there was a stool in the middle of my closet, and there was pictures and letters and crosses hung up on the wall in my closet. And my wife had turned our closet into her prayer closet. Aren't we told to go into the closet and pray? Well, she literally did. And that's pretty amazing, right? I was a little jealous. Wish I would have thought of it. But she is much better than me, and I freely admit that. But dedication to prayer, dedication to prayer, to communion, to time with God. Setting aside more than just meal breaks, more than just a few minutes in the morning or a few minutes in the afternoon, but praying constantly and intentionally to God. That would be setting a floor that you could build a mansion on top of, right? But after you have your flooring, whichever level you're at, you have to build your walls. So what are the walls? If the flooring is prayer life, to me, the walls are how much time you spend in your Bible. Now, the thin canvas walls of a tent that claim to be waterproof, but anybody that's slept in a monsoon knows that's only a limited amount of time. But they do keep the wind away a little bit. They do shelter you, but they're just not very sturdy. If a bear comes up, it ain't gonna do much, right? What would that look like? Well, How many people read their Bible every day? Or if you have tent walls, would that be, well, the preacher read something Sunday morning. I heard it. It came from the Bible, I think. Maybe you read a little verse of the day. Maybe you, on your phone app, you get a little text and it says verse of the day. But that's about it. To me, that would be kind of a flimsy wall structure on our house. But if we wanted to upgrade that and build the nice bamboo wooden walls with maybe some corner posts and some palm branches laid over, maybe we might need to spend some more time in the Bible. Maybe we might need to buy us or invest in a study Bible where somebody else has kind of given us some extra information about the Bible, and we set aside some time to read that Bible every day. Whether it be a chapter, whether it be a book, we set aside some time to study, to read, to seek truth in a world that doesn't offer much, that offers distractions. But if we want to step up to that mansion and we want to build those nice brick walls or the stone walls, then to me that is knowing what the Word is, knowing the foundation that the Word provides, knowing the truth, the comfort, the peace, the hope, the joy, the love that can all be found in those words found in that book that was written by that hand. You know, when you really get into the Bible, what's neat about it is that it speaks. It's not just a written word, but it's a living word. And when you find that out, you learn that the more you dive into it, the more you get out of it. And when you are hurting, when you are struggling, when you are dealing with issues that you just don't understand or don't have an answer to, what you find out is this living word will speak to you and give you peace in times of trouble. It'll give you hope in times of despair. It'll give you joy when you're needing that answer. And when you seek to find out more about it, when it becomes that important to you, when it becomes something you have to have with you at all times, and you have to spend at least a little bit of time digging deeper every day, that's when you find out that you're building brick walls to your house. And after you build the walls, we got to put the roof on, right? Now here's the roof to me. It's the community, the family, the body that I love to listen to old preachers on the radio, and I heard this Georgia preacher, I don't know his name, it was on the AM channel, and I wish I could speak like him. He had that southern accent, and every time he said the word God, he said God, and I was like, man, I wish I could say it like that, but you know, I didn't do him justice. But to get back to my point, I don't know if I told y'all the first week, but I love rabbit holes, and I will jump in one and follow it wherever it goes. So I apologize. But the roof is made up of the community, the body, the church that God has placed us in. And if we want that little plastic cover that goes over the netting on the top of the tent, they call it the rain flap, I think. All it does is hold more rain so that there's that one little drop of water that just tick, all night long. You know what I mean? If we want that type of roof, then really, all you have to do is make a Sunday occasionally. You know, I'd say a little bit more than, I mean, if you're just a twice a year Christmas and Easter, I would say you're still standing outside. But I mean, if you're once a month, twice a month, you know, 8:30 might be a little early for you to get up to, but 11 o'clock you can sleep in and still breeze in, breeze out real quick. You know, that's fine. You're building your roof, and that's good. We need that. And, you know, that's that rain flap. But if you want the palms laid over palms, tied down that'll withstand a little bit more, maybe that's something you have to show up to every Sunday. Maybe it's seeking to be a part of the body of Christ every Sunday. Maybe it becomes something you need. Maybe you even go to Sunday school and you want more, and you want to be a little bit more involved than just church on Sundays. But if we want the textured clay-tiled roof, or the tin roof, or the shingled roof for our mansion, maybe that's going deeper than just Sunday morning or Sunday school. Maybe it's showing up at both services, right? Maybe it's seeking out the Bible studies. Maybe it's finding small groups. Maybe it is intentionally being a part of the body of Christ and not allowing the excuses of, well, there's nothing I can do, or, you know, I really don't know anybody, or, you know, I've done my time. Maybe it's not allowing those excuses to interrupt what God is calling us to do or be, because we all have something we can contribute, right? We all have something that God has instilled in us and given us a talent for, whether it's speaking, teaching, cooking, baking, fishing. If so, let me know. But I mean, whatever it is, we all have a talent, and God has called us to that. Now, granted, my title is Pastor of Discipleship and Young Family, so I may be pushing this discipleship a little bit, but that's my job, right? But my question is, did Jesus call us to be believers, or what did he call us to be? You can speak up. Like I said, disciples. Jesus called us to be disciples. And what is a disciple? A disciple is a follower. A disciple is somebody who wants to follow the teacher, to be like the teacher, to know more about the teacher, to spend time with the teacher, to give up their life and to be transformed into the teacher. That's a disciple. That's building a roof when we are gathered together, because you know what? Your house may be built better than mine, or you may have a better floor than mine, and I may have a better roof than yours, and somebody else may have a better wall than ours, and we may need to combine our houses so that we can build that mansion. Because I believe I read somewhere in that book that the Father has prepared a mansion with many rooms. And I go now to prepare a room for you. So what he's telling us, in my mind, what I hear, what I feel, is that what he is telling us is that we cannot do it alone. And in a class I had a few weeks ago, the instructor said, sinners need other sinners to go on to perfection. And I said, no, they don't. But the more I thought about it, the more I let that sit in my heart, it made sense. Sinners need other sinners to go on to perfection. We're all seeking God. We all want to know God, but we all struggle with different things. We are all sinners. We all have issues and distractions and problems, and we like to think that nobody, isn't that a song, knows the trouble I've seen. I'm not a singer. That's what I married Jenny for. We like to think that nobody understands our pain, our hurts, our struggles, our issues. But the fact of the matter is we need other people that have hurts and pains and struggles and issues, because most likely they've dealt with something we've dealt with, or they have read something that we haven't, or they have learned something that we haven't, and they can share that with us and help us build the perfect floor, the perfect wall, the perfect ceiling, roof. And we can build the mansion together. That's what I see and I hear when I read, "Whoever follows and hears is the wise builder who built their house on the bedrock." We're called to be the body. We're called to be a prayerful follower. We're called to be a student of the Word. We're called to be like Christ. So, as pastor of discipleship, I am inviting all of you to decide, to figure out, to ask God, what type of house are you living in? What type of house have you built in your relationship with God? And it can be any combination. You can have a slab for a floor and a rain flap for a roof. Or you can have a canvas tent flooring, but the best brick walls ever. But allow God. Ask God to allow you to see the house you are building on His foundation. And ask Him how we as a church, how we as a body can make sure we are all building the mansion that He has in store for all of us. Amen? All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are such a good and gracious and amazing, loving Father. Lord, You have given Your life for us. And You have said all those that believe are standing on the rock, that the storms of life will not wash us off of. But You've also asked us to build this house on that foundation, to make our home on that foundation, to let our life revolve around that foundation. But Lord, sometimes that's a lot of work. Sometimes it's easy to pitch a tent. Sometimes we may upgrade the walls or the roof, but it's hard to build a mansion because it requires so much of us. Lord, we need Your help. We need Your strength. We need Your wisdom and Your guidance to help us see how to build that mansion. Lord, we need each other's help. We may not understand how to build the brick wall or to build the perfect roof, but somebody else around us that You have placed in our lives might know. And it's our job to be a part of that group, to be a part of that body, to be open to who You send to help out. Lord, give us a heart full of love. Give us eyes to see Your hand, to see Your footsteps, to see Your guidance. And give us wisdom to seek You, to find You, to hear You, and to love, to be like You. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite all of you to spend a minute or two in silent prayer. Allow God to